This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Jeff Sandu
and Christine Wong.
Hello, you two. How are you both doing?
Hello. Very good. Very
good. I'm excited because it's near the end of the week. Yay!
Oh, okay. I'm a bit afraid of a few people outside of BFM at this point of time. Or I think they just left. There is one or two people still outside of BFM. They're just outside of, there's a gym downstairs. Apparently, according to Christine.
Not a normal, I mean, there is a normal gym downstairs. What he needs is a Pokemon gym.
There are Pokemon players outside.
It is 2017,
with
people.
With a Zapdos raid battle going on downstairs. Not that I'm
now?
Invested or anything.
A what now?
Well, yeah, so Pokemon Go still around, and I'm surprised because it's a resurgence. I remember it completely died off.
Yes.
And then over the last few days, I've been seeing, you know, a few people just gathering around with their phones and doing that crazy thing again.
Christine, are you still doing that crazy thing again?
I never stopped.
Oh, so. Right.
All right,
okay.
Fair enough. We're not judging you here.
No.
Word.
Yeah.
These young people. Anyway, if you want to get in touch with our show this afternoon, 018-789-8899 is the WhatsApp number. You can get us on Twitter as well, at BFM Radio Stories. We will be covering today how scientists are creating AI that can tell if you're dreaming.
Oh,
Jeff will be touching on that very shortly. IKEA in the UK are starting to sell solar panels and home battery packs.
Nice.
Love this idea.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Christine will be talking about the world's largest telescope and how it is unmanned and why.
Mm-hmm.
Then Jeff will be telling us about how Adidas will be making really cheap shirts and killing hundreds of jobs at the same time. Well done there, Adidas. Mm-hmm. Finally, how Japanese scientists have created a breakthrough ice cream that doesn't melt.
Ooh.
Audrey loves it. The rest of us think...
I love it.
You like
Malaysia
it.
Is so hot.
Okay.
As soon as you get a sundae out from McDonald's or any ice cream shop, it melts immediately.
All right, we will touch on that very shortly then. First of all then, the scientists that are creating an AI that can tell if you're dreaming. Scary or not?
Yes. Well, this is according to, you know, they've created an algorithm that analyzes radio frequency signals in order to monitor you in your sleep. So it uses a device similar to a Wi-Fi router to determine everything on, you know, how shallow your breathing is to whether you're having a dream or not.
Okay.
So the study was conducted by a group of consisting researchers from the MIT and also from the Massachusetts General Hospital Division of Sleep Medicine. So MIT professor Dina Katabi says that imagine if your Wi-Fi router knows when you're dreaming and can monitor whether you're having a deep enough sleep, which is necessary for memory consolidation.
Yeah,
our vision is developing health sensors that, you know, will disappear into the background and capture the physiological signals and important health metrics and without asking the user to sort of change your behavior in any other way. So the sensor works by sending out low-level radio frequency signals that bounces off you, the person itself. And, you know, the subtle movements of the human body are detected by the radio, the RF or radio frequency device, similar to a router, and it's analyzed by the algorithm. This AI then gathers the same diagnostic measurements and information obtained by attaching an electrode sensor directly to the subject without any wires. In fact, this line of research previously yielded a similar device that could be used to detect human emotions wirelessly. This is really important because sleep deprivation is a big a sleep
huge.
Disorder.
It's huge.
It's a huge problem.
Yeah.
There's a number from the US here. I've known numbers on Malaysia, but I know me and you, Rich.
Yeah.
Christine, do you have sleeping problems?
Yep.
She doesn't get enough.
So that's 3 out of 3 in
right?
BFM already.
Mm-hmm. 110%.
I know. I mean, there is somebody in this office who has a severe sleep disorder as well.
Exactly.
And I know that person.
Yeah, and the US alone, 50 million people, that's nearly 16% of the population, they suffer from a sleep disorder. That's a lot of people working and driving and parenting and studying. And it's the same over here without proper rest. That's why accidents, you know, tend to happen.
My only concern with this is there are some studies that show that the signals that Wi-Fi routers send out interrupt sleep patterns.
Yes, that's why they always tell you, you know, don't put your phone so close to you when you're sleeping. I really don't know. I guess we got to wait for MIT to really sort of dive into the research even more deeper than what it is and do like an inception, perhaps. You
but
know?
It's a, you know, the idea that your router could in fact message your doctor, you know, and say, okay, this person in this house is having sleep problems, or you know, they've got apnea or whatever.
And this AI powered device that they've created, you know, it's a laptop sized device at this point of time, but you know, obviously, this is just a prototype.
Yeah.
You know, in a few months down the road and with proper funding, you would be able to see them really pushing this innovation if there is some tangible results. At this point of time, it's just a bit like, it feels it could work. They're just testing out. But once they push this through, they will be able to make a device that's really small and you can just probably slip it under your pillow and not even notice it's there. And that could work.
I mean, that's actually a really good development because there are a lot of apps that currently exist that try to track your sleep, but they can't quite get there. Like even on the iPhone in the clock function, right? There's like a bedtime function. But if you don't actually go to sleep and wake up during those times, then it's not even accurate in the first place.
Mm.
So things like sleep cycle and stuff would definitely benefit from this kind of technology.
There's devices like I'm using the Gear S3 as a smartwatch. I know the Apple Watch has it as well. The Fitbits, they all have it. They all have this sleep, you know, tracker and pattern, and it can tell you how much of deep sleep you have and how much of light sleep you have. It's not accurate to the dot, right? Because, you know, you tend to move around sometimes when you're sleeping and the watch assumes that you're awake.
Yeah.
It's happened many times with both the Apple Watch and the Gear S3. And devices like this that is specifically catered for a purpose, for a medical reason.
And not a multitude.
Yeah. It is not supposed to send you a message or, you know, send you an alert. It's time to wake up now. No. You just need a very small device that you could hide it somewhere under your bed and it could just track, you know, how you sleep and how much of movements you're creating when you're sleeping, because we take sleep for granted here. We always just try to chase and do more and do more. I've been a victim of this where I've said before, sleep is for the weak. I think I should take it back because I need those now. I'm so weak without sleep.
Right. Jeff Sandu, seriously, you know, sleep is so vitally important, and yet I'm this person who very rarely gets more than 4.5 hours sleep.
Same problem.
And I really wish that I could be one of these people who could just go to bed and have that perfect 8 hours sleep per night. It's almost like a dream for me.
Every night I go to bed and I'm like, yes, today is the day I'm going to get a good sleep because I'm just so drained. I'm so tired. I do, you know, you wash up, you brush your teeth, you get onto the bed, and there we go.
Yep.
Eyes are wide open.
Yep.
Brain is just starts tickling around, and there's so many ideas coming in. And then you take out the notebook, and then you start writing down all these ideas. Next thing you know, it's 4 a.m. Mm-hmm.
And then you're up in 4 hours.
Yeah.
Or 3 hours.
Three.
Yeah, 3 hours, yes. Terrible, terrible. Right, great idea. Let's see what comes out of this. Moving on to something a little bit different. We're talking about solar panels. It's something we've, you know, got an interest in. Green tech is something I'm very keen on. My own house in the UK has solar panels inbuilt. It was done by a program by the government whilst it was still running. They were installed for free. Basically, my house makes money, which we then sell electricity back to the state.
That is very good.
It's a wonderful program.
Yeah, very good. Very
so
good.
Now, IKEA in the UK are selling solar panel systems and home battery packs in the UK, claiming people who sign up for this system can save up to £560 per year. It's not a huge amount of money, but as it adds up over years, it works out quite nicely.
What doesn't IKEA sell?
This is the thing, right? IKEA have said that by installing supersized batteries on your walls, you can store the power generated by the solar panels, most of which is never consumed by the households. Whilst homeowners have long been encouraged to install solar panels on their roof, prices have come down in recent years, and the installation of these batteries to store energy is fairly new, right? So IKEA have said that around 60% of the energy generated by the panels is returned to the grid instead of being used by households, and more if a property is unoccupied during the day. So by saving energy in batteries for use at night, it says bills can be cut up by up to 70%. So they've started selling these systems on its website after partnering with a solar power company called Solar Century. Installation is a little complicated than your normal DIY IKEA flat pack.
Sure. It wasn't complicated enough already, right?
But to be fair, though, most of the IKEA products that have those instructions are very confusing.
Right. Yep. But the, I mean, so IKEA have said these batteries cost around £3,000 and up.
Hey, not too bad.
But although included as part of a solar panel system, that brings it up to £6,295, meaning it will roughly take you 12 years to recoup your investment.
Wow.
So prices can rise above, you know, £10,000 for a larger panel installation.
You could literally pay for an entire degree with that money.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. You know, I'm not surprised IKEA, you know, decided to do this. You know, they already sell live plants. They sell smoked salmon. They even have healthcare as well that they sell, not here in Malaysia, but I'm sure the employees would have it.
Yeah, they do.
And you know, selling solar panels and batteries makes sense because, you know, the evil emperor of the world, Elon Musk, right? He's just announced, like, you know, a few months ago that he's going to do his solar powered roof tiles. So, you know, he needs competition in order to drive him further. And what better way to get, you know, the giants like IKEA to come in and do a mass production of something like this. And, you know, you would see Amazon now, I'm sure. I'm very sure Jeff Bezos is just looking at this I want a piece of that.
The thing is with solar panels right now, they are still fundamentally, they're expensive.
Yes.
Right? And £10,000 over a period of 12 years is a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
Particularly for these people who want to save money by having solar power.
My money is on Elon Musk still, though. Yeah. I think the evil genius is going to rule the world.
All right, we have to take a short break. We've got some BRMC coming up, a Black Rebel Motorcycle Club with Love Burns. When we come back, Christine will be talking to us about how China built the world's largest telescope but has no one to run it.
Oh, dear.
Oh.
Yeah, right.
They've got so many people, no one to run that.
I'll explain more about that later.
All right.
Hold your horses. You're listening to Enterprise BizBytes on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. I'm Rich Bradbury with
Christine Wong.
Jeff Sandu.
So just before the break, we spoke about how scientists are creating AI that can tell if you're dreaming. And if you are dreaming, you may well have wandered down to IKEA and bought yourself a solar panel starter battery pack. We're now going to be moving on to checking out the solar system from China or not.
Yes.
What's going on?
Right. This is a really, really kind of funny but kind of sad story. So China has built the world's largest radio telescope, but there's no one to run it.
What do you mean?
How is there no one to run in a place that has like a billion people in a square feet of area? Like,
okay, this is the thing, right? First of all, let me explain what the telescope is used for, because this will provide some context. So what it is, it's the world's largest radio telescope in the remote southern mountainous region of the country, and it's called the 500-meter aperture spherical telescope, or FAST.
Wow.
The telescope measures nearly twice as large as the closest comparable facility in the world, which is the U.S.-operated Arecibo radio telescope in Puerto Rico.
In Puerto Rico.
Mm. Right? And what it is actually radio telescopes use a large parabolic dish to collect radio waves from distant sources, such as pulsars and black holes, or even alien civilizations.
I love how she did that and then paused for a second for effect.
There's a slight pause in alien. It's like she knows something and she's not telling us.
The difference between the two telescopes is that FAST is actually a passive instrument. It doesn't transmit anything. It just absorbs and kind of records and analyzes. Arecibo actually has the capability to transmit radio waves. But the problem with having this massive radio telescope is, according to the South China Morning Post, the country is looking for a foreigner to run the observatory because no Chinese astronomer has the experience of running a facility of such size and complexity.
Ah.
The Chinese Academy of Sciences began advertising the position in Western journals and job postings in May, but there have been no qualified applicants.
Hey, Rich!
I mean, before
you... You've worked in China, haven't you?
Before you start volunteering, Rich, for this thing, I gotta tell you, though, the requirements are very, very strict.
I'm sure.
So the candidate must have at least 20 years of previous experience in the astronomy field. He or she must have taken a leading role in a large-scale radio telescope project with extensive managerial experience, of which clearly very common. Mm-hmm. And they must also have a professorship or equally senior position in a world-class research institute or university.
Oh, well, that's it then.
You know who they're looking for? Who Gandalf.
Gandalf.
Gandalf fits that bill.
Yes.
He's managed people before. He's got 20-odd or more than that on astronomy.
Gandalf, he does not speak Chinese.
I mean, you never know. He can speak to horses,
subtitles.
So why not, right? But anyway, this is the thing. This is the other thing as well. So first of all, that they can't find people who are qualified enough to do it. But then there are also questions about the scientific purpose of the FAST telescope among the Western community of astronomers who they're trying to get to run this telescope in the first place. So as part of a recent National Science Foundation review of its facilities, U.S. officials placed the similar Arecibo radio telescope near the bottom of its priorities list because basically, they're like, well, we don't actually know if aliens are a thing.
Yeah.
So it's not much of a priority unless they are actually a thing. As part of their review, the main question that U.S. officials had for Arecibo was a concern its science mission in comparison to newer projects such as the Large Synoptic Survey Telescope, which is more useful because when it's finished, it will photograph the entire available sky every few nights.
Wow.
So it's a bit more, like, you know, useful.
You know, we know a lot about, you know, our current space.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, that one question that Christine asked, right? You know, is there really life out of space? We're not sure. That is the only question that we're sort of just asking ourselves. Most of it, we kind of already, you know, we know a lot more than what we, you know, on the sea, right?
10, like, 15 years ago, for sure.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I'm just trying to figure out, like, now they're building equipments that, you know, only a selected few human beings could manage and could actually operate it.
Mm-hmm.
Why not invest in AI and, you know, let's do AI to do the analysis part and, you know, send AIs to space. And I'm sure Elon Musk is already thinking of that. And,
yeah, probably.
You know, I'm very sure it's only a matter of time because think about, you know, astronomy and studying stars and maps. It all comes down to the data, right?
Yeah.
And years and years of collective data, if you could digitize that and, you know, if AI could run through, because it just becomes a lot more quicker, a lot more faster.
Right. I mean, the one in Arecibo, I know, to run it and leave it running costs about $8 million per year.
Mm.
So I'd imagine something that's bigger, larger in China will cost an awful lot of money as it is. But even stuff like passive telescopes, despite what you might think, Jeff, you know, they're still very important for space exploration. Mm-hmm. They're very important for mapping and navigating areas of our galaxy to kind of, you know, see whether or not pulsars are out there and whether or not black holes are out there for future kind of generations, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's it's an important thing to be still investing money in. But you're right, Christine, in the way that, you know, trying to find somebody to tick all of these boxes, they're just not going to find
somebody.
This is
going to be hard.
Yeah, we actually have a quote from Nick Sunzef, who is an astronomer at Texas A&M University, and he's this guy who helped lead the discovery of dark energy and is involved with the construction of the optical giant Magellan Telescope in Chile.
Yeah.
And he has said that there's probably only about 40 or so astronomers in the world who would qualify for such a job, because compared to other astronomy disciplines, radio astronomy specifically is a really small field.
Yeah.
And he was basically saying that most astronomers in the United States don't like to work abroad, because even getting people to apply to work in Chile, which is beautiful and lovely, is really difficult.
Mm.
And astronomers want to be paid well, but the money doesn't buy you telescope time or access to supercomputers or fund postdocs and graduate students. So I can kind of get why it's so difficult for them to find someone, and maybe your AI solution is the only solution that there is.
Either that or Jodie Foster.
Jodie Foster.
Yeah.
She's what is she up to? Not much, probably. I don't
probably
know.
Probably not. Oh, dear. Anyway.
Still stuck in a panic room, probably.
All right, time to take another short break. We've got some Florence and the Machine up next with Ship to Wreck, followed by some Supergrass. We'll be back in just a few minutes where Jeff will be talking about how a robot in Japan could well be putting hundreds of people out of jobs on behalf of Adidas. You are listening to Enterprise BizBytes on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Because feelings matter. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bites with me, Rich Bradbury,
Jeff Sandu,
and
Christine Wong,
and soon to be Sobot.
Yes, we are all gonna be robots, because we've talked about the show many, many times on how AI is gonna, you know, change or replace our jobs, a lot of the jobs,
or complement them,
or complement them.
We hope.
But I think for us radio, we may not be so safe.
Yeah,
because tomorrow's show with me and Matt, we're going to demonstrate how, you know, you could now automate voice completely using Adobe's new software.
Yeah, I mean, right? Arvin mentioned it a couple of weeks ago. And it was like, how much of your voice do they have to capture before they could have an entire...
Not much.
But they
apparently
can't capture your spirit.
That's true. Or your sense of humor.
Or your
wonderful... Anyway, carry on.
Yeah. So anyways, unfortunately, there are already many industries that is being affected by AI. Leading sportswear brand Adidas, they are planning to produce 800,000 t-shirts per day. by using this new fully automated SoBot. It's suppliers by Software Automation in the US. They're going to be leasing out this AI SoBot to the Chinese plant at the Adidas factory in China. And it could produce 800,000 t-shirts per day. So it's using cameras to map the fabric, robots to steer it through the sewing needles, and the system will handle the soft fabrics and make the t-shirts for Adidas on the system, which is scheduled to be fully operation by the end of next year.
This is insane.
Yeah, so from fabric cutting and sewing to the finished product, it roughly takes 4 minutes to do one.
Wow. Whoa.
That is just absolutely beyond, you know, what we could achieve nowadays. So they will install 21 of these in their production lines, and when fully operational, the system will make one t-shirt every 22 seconds.
That's, I mean, that hurts my brain, right? That hurts my brain.
And with that, though, they are able to produce 800,000 t-shirts for Adidas a day. That is a huge achievement for the software automation company, which was launched in 2012. Mm-hmm. The company's SoBot is using a combination of patented high-speed computer vision and lightweight robots to stir the fabric to and from the needles with greater speed and accuracy than a human could possibly do. So you minimize the rejected stuff. So,
yeah,
you know, brands that used to buy this rejected or stores that used to buy this rejected stuff may go out of business as well. So the technology was developed and is patented by Georgia's Tech Advanced Technology Development Center. But what's really a slightly more interesting point here is that the SoBot, it actually came from a company that was awarded with a $1.25 million DARPA contract.
Of course.
DARPA, sticking their fingers into every pie.
The U.S. Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA. They gave $1.25 million to Software Automation Inc. and started developing U.S. military garments in 2010. And
So DARPA
started this. You could see how, again, military's, you know, equipments and technologies mm-hmm. now being spilled over into so many areas. And my God, just 22 seconds
but
to do a t-shirt.
Here's the thing, though. The military really like spending money.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So they have enough of it.
Exactly. So why would they have something that makes things quicker for them? Because they're like, the more money they get to spend, you know, the bigger their next budget is.
Well, I think it's also because for brands like Adidas, for them is to lower
their
costs.
Oh, for Adidas,
costs,
I completely understand.
Yeah.
For military-wise, we have no idea. Right, unless we just go into and hack into the systems, we need Edward Snowden, and then, you know, we have a few kind of discussions with Edward Snowden. But, you know, it's all about cutting costs.
Yeah.
Once they've completed these 21 production lines and they start running by next year, the personal cost for each t-shirt would roughly cost 33 cents.
Now, here's the big question.
But they will still cost 200 ringgit here in Malaysia.
Exactly. Yeah. That was going to be the big question. If they can make them for that cheap, why on earth should we be paying, anything more than what? $10?
Yeah,
you know, $5 even.
So right now, labor cost is expensive,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of movements into how these people are treated in factories in China. We've seen Apple, you know, have to go on through battles.
Qualcomm as well.
And yeah, Qualcomm, Foxconn. A lot of these companies are struggling with just paying basic salary to their workers. And their workers are getting kept like in a chicken farm in an area.
Yeah.
We've seen so many documentaries onto this. And I think AI helps because you could run this 24 hours a day and there's never a need for, you know, for
toilet
lunch
breaks,
break, toilet breaks.
Yeah.
This only works for maintenance, right? And you could do that in batches because you can predict when this thing is going to fail, when it needs a repair.
Yeah.
And when you have something like this and the cost of, you know, you eliminate, you know, thousands of employees, apparently they will eliminate thousands of jobs. I don't have a number, specific number in terms of how many jobs is going to be affected by this, but you could assume a lot.
Let me ask you a question then. I mean, and I love your spirit
I love the way
you push AI. But here's a question. It is going to come to a breaking point at some period, you know, down the road, where there are going to be so many jobs gone and disappeared.
Yeah.
What do those people who once had a profession and once worked, even if they're just laboring, for example, where are they going to go? What are they going to? They're not going to be working in fast food anymore,
of course,
because there'll be robots doing
that. Yeah, yeah.
They'll not be working in retail or garment making anymore because robots are doing that. Car manufacturing gone. Mm. You know what's left? Mm. Development of the next AI.
Yeah. So you know there have been a lot of talks of like you know job AI is not going to replace all the jobs. It's going to replace half of them. Half of them is going to be complementing, and those that it does replace, it's all about you know reskilling yourself. It's upskilling yourself to learn a different thing. It still sort of needs a manager around it. But you know, if you have got 10 people and you have one AI to replace these 10 people, only two may survive out of the 10.
Right.
The 8 will have to go because need so many. That's the whole point, right? It's cutting down the cost.
Yeah.
What you do is, I think it comes down to people like Adidas to make sure that you know the well-being of the employees that they have hired at this point in time who've shown the loyalty into them have the ability to move up the ranks or you know do different and better things or give them training to do something else. And these are the people who would be hungry anyways. They would want a job no matter how you know, what kind of job is. If you're working in a factory in China, you definitely are desperate for a job. And if the company is allowing them, because they're saving money now, you could actually then spend that money on training these thousands of employees to do something else for you, whether it's for the company or it's, you're already making profit here. If you could make a t-shirt that just costs 33 cents, that's a lot of money that you're going to be making because you're already selling your t-shirts for a few hundred years.
But
dollars, right?
You know as well as I do that these employers will not
invest. Live in a world of unicorns and ponies,
exactly.
All right?
No,
exactly.
No way. Sorry, I have to agree with the cynical side of this. There's no way that they're spending that money.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, I still hope because I do believe companies like Elon Musk and, you know, it's only a matter of time before his giant factory giga plan is going to be replaced by AI. And I'm sure he has a plan into how he's going to take care of his staff and his employees.
All right, lovely. Nice chat there. AI will kill us all, I'm swearing. I believe so.
Tomorrow we'll all be radio bots.
I'm on Elon Musk's side of this. Anyway, right, we've got to take a short break. Some Queens of the Stone Age coming up. We had Josh Omi earlier. It's going to leave you right now. Don't go anywhere. This is Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9. And when we come back, we'll be talking about how it's a very important thing. Japanese scientists have developed an ice cream.
Yes.
That doesn't melt. BFM 89.9.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. It's almost time for us to wrap up the show, but I think this is probably the most important story of the entire
day.
Very
important.
And I love it when something happens by accident. A happy accident, as Bob Ross would have said.
Yeah.
So this chef in Japan, right, was asked to grow some strawberries. Mm-hmm. And he was asked to find a way to use strawberries that were grown in areas impacted by the earthquake back in and the tsunami back in 2011.
Right.
Because when these strawberries were growing, they wouldn't grow in a normal shape.
Mm.
So people just wouldn't buy them. And whilst he was figuring out what to do with these strawberries, he was putting them on the side. And what it did was to make the cream that they were next to solidify. Right, and he kept complaining about this to people. Why? I don't understand why my cream is solidifying.
Mm.
Apparently, there was a compound in it called polyphenol in the strawberries, and that is responsible for solidifying the cream. And what it does is it makes it difficult for water and oil to separate, right? Which is what happens when ice cream kind of melts, right? So what they decided to do was to mix this naturally occurring compound in with ice cream, and what it does is this wonderful thing where it keeps the ice cream solid, feeling cold, yet doesn't melt.
Ooh.
Right? So there are people who have this ice cream on a stick outside in blaring sunshine, and it's not dripping a drop.
Wow, that's a dream come true.
It sounds brilliant, doesn't it?
I want this.
So far, though, it's only available in Japan and hasn't been shipped over here yet.
Well, there you go.
Why did it melt on the way here?
Well, boom. This is definitely something that, you know, can easily take off in places like Malaysia. And
definitely.
You know, the desert country like Dubai and Saudi and all places like that where ice cream, when you get even chocolate here, for example, you unwrap chocolate, you know it's already melted.
I'm wondering, has he patented this this thing? And, you know, is he going to just make it like an open patent where everyone could try out?
That would be nice, right?
Because that would be really useful. I mean, he deserves credit for his accidental mistake.
Yeah.
That's for sure. And, you know, he's a scientist at the end of the day, and like, you know, he's a chef and he's a scientist, right?
Yeah. Can you technically patent a naturally occurring compound?
I think the way in terms of making something,
he just mixed it together.
Apple patented how you hold the phone, right?
Did they patent a pizza box as
yes,
well?
Yes, they did. They did. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
They did.
My word, Apple.
You know, so you, because of the ridiculousness of the patent world, there's the patent wars that we've talked about many times. I hope that, you know, he has something in plans in terms of getting this mass, massly adopted.
Yeah.
By, you know, all the ice cream companies, chocolate companies, everyone.
He better do it before somebody licks him to it.
I have an argument to make.
Come on then.
In which I actually really like melted ice cream.
Me too.
Okay. This is my personal explanation is that I have very, very sensitive teeth. So if I'm licking ice cream and stuff, it gets like sometimes it gets on my teeth and it's really cold and I don't like it because it hurts. Like it physically hurts my teeth. But when it's melted, I can just drink it like a soup and then I can get the ice cream and then I can also enjoy myself and not hurt.
Right. You know, if it hurts, then maybe you just shouldn't have ice cream.
But
Christine,
ice cream is so worth it,
save
Jeff.
It for those who can enjoy it,
Jeff,
like me.
Why would you
and
deprive
Rich.
Me of my frozen dessert?
Stop it. Come on. So we had this discussion outside with Audrey Raj as well, and we said, but I'm on Christian's side with this. You know, I like the malted ice cream. Audrey looked at us as though we'd committed some horrible sin.
Well, to be fair, though, it's not like this ice cream will never melt. It does. It just takes a longer time to melt.
You can actually hold a hairdryer up against it and it doesn't melt straight away.
Ah, so, you know, I like this because I've gone through many drive-thrus in the car. And I will go through a drive-thru, I get my ice cream, and it's melting almost immediately.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's like dripping onto the sides. And, you know, for that, I need this. I don't need it to last for like half an hour and doesn't melt in half an hour's time. I can put a hairdryer into it and it's still... That's magic. That's just for me to, you know, make money, go on stage and show 1,000 people, be a David Copperfield kind of thing, right? I'm not want to do that. I just want an ice cream that could perhaps last a little longer than a minute before it starts melting in Malaysia's weather.
And you know what this means? This means no more soggy waffle cones.
Ooh, that too. Right. Anyway, we've got to wrap up, guys. What a wonderful show we've had so far. Scientists creating AI that can tell if you're dreaming is what Jeff started off with. I then moved on to how IKEA started selling solar panels and home battery packs.
And then we covered China building the world's largest telescope, but it has no one to run it.
Oh, and then I talked about... What did I talk about again?
You talked about the robots that are taking over jobs.
Yes, I forgot because, you know why? My job is going to be replaced. Why am I, you know, still talking on radio? Tomorrow it's going to be a robot, a radio bot. It's going to replace me.
I will be here tomorrow.
Yes.
And then, of course, we wrapped up with how Japanese scientists create ice cream that doesn't melt. Win or sin? You let us know on 018-789-8899. Okay, we got to wrap up. But after the 1 o'clock news, we have the Breakfast Grill replay with Troy Ruhanen, the president and CEO of TBWA Worldwide. So throughout 2016, TBWA Worldwide has secured a lineup of new businesses, most notably U-Mobile, Taylor's University, Dairy Farm, and Chartime. They speak, this is the Breakfast Grill, they speak to Troy Ruhanen, the president and CEO of TBWA, to discuss the Malaysian advertising landscape, upcoming trends, and engaging millennials. There you go, folks. That's all coming up just after the 1 o'clock news. We will be back same time, same place tomorrow here on BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.